Today, brothers and sisters, I want to talk about a phenomenon that's been circulating all over the internet about retiring early. They even have groups called the FIRE Movement, which is financial independence, retire early, where they tell you to hoard as much money as possible so you can retire at 35 and live your next 35 or 40 years, I guess maybe surfing or traveling the world on a cruise, whatever that may be. But we're going to explore this concept today. And we're going to talk about how retiring early is not really what Christians do. That retirement was not really meant for us. God willing, in this episode, I'll teach you how to get to retirement, but not just to retirement, through retirement. All this and more on this episode of Financial Advisors Say the Darndest Things. Welcome back. My name is A.B. Ridgway. I'm the host of Financial Advisors Say the Darndest Things to My Mom's favorite Christian financial advisor. And today we are talking about retirement. We're talking about retiring early. Can Christians retire early, or is there something special we are supposed to do as followers of Christ? It says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 12 through 13, I perceive that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also, that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man. Work is not supposed to be hard. It's not something that we grudgingly go to. It's something that we do with pleasure and with love. And if we're not doing the things that we love, then we need to switch occupations, because technically we are not contributing to the community. We're actually just working to kind of get money back. And that kind of defeats the purpose of actually contributing in a meaningful way. In Proverbs, it says, there is profit in toil. And I agree, no matter what we do, whether we do the bad thing or we do the right thing, there's still going to be some type of gain. Either you're going to gain more evil or you're going to gain more good. And for me, I think for you as well, we want to gain good. Not only that, we actually get to see the fruits of our labor. How beautiful is it when you toil, you work, and you get to see something that you created? As children of God, as children of the Creator, we have this innate ability to create, and it gives us something inside of ourselves that we cannot replicate anywhere else in this world. So what's the definition of retire? It's actually a verb. It's an action. It's to leave one's job and cease to work, typically upon reaching the normal age for leaving employment. Now, what is your definition of retirement? Here are some things you should think about when thinking about retirement. One, what is your definition of retiring? Does that mean sitting on the beach somewhere? Sitting on your back porch, sipping coffee in the morning, or maybe knitting? What are you retiring to? After a long career, 20, 25 years, what are you going to do when you wake up the next morning? You stretch and yawn, you look at your alarm clock, and you realize you have nowhere to go. What are you going to do? Also, what are you going to do once you've traveled to all your favorite places? You've been to Miami, Las Vegas, Washington, D.C., Panama, Canada, Australia, Europe, Africa. Where are you going to go to next? What are you going to do once you ate at all your favorite restaurants, the ones that were overcrowded after work and you could barely get a reservation and you could only go once a week because of your hectic schedule with you and the children? What are you going to do? What are you going to do once you've slept in till 11 a.m. or maybe even lunchtime for 4 weeks straight? What are you going to do now? Think about it. How many rounds of golf can you really play? Now, you may be thinking, if you haven't been retired, I can play hundreds of rounds of golf, right? Well, I've been around thousands and thousands of clients, and one thing that is consistent is they understand that after the first 3 or 4 years of playing golf every day, sipping coffee in the morning, and sleeping in, they're bored. They need something to do. You still have to occupy yourself for those 8 hours that usually you were distracted with work. What are you going to fill that with? Understand this, brothers and sisters. Retirement despair is real. I never forgot. I had a guest. His name was Tony Hickson, and he wrote a book called Retirement Stepping Stones, and he told a story of his mother. His mother was a hard worker. She used to work at a hospice. She used to be on the bedsides of many of her patients, helping them transition into the afterlife. She loved her job. She did for many, many years, and to be able to be there in those people's last moments to comfort them and to let them know everything was going to be all right filled her with so much love and compassion for the world. He told me soon things turned for the worst. Computers came into her office. No longer could she wait by the bedside. She had to be behind the computer, punching in the numbers, writing reports, putting things in folders, and the distance between her and her clients and the things that she loved started to separate. Soon she couldn't take it anymore. So she reached out to her financial advisor. She reached out to her son and says, "Do I have enough to retire?" And they said, "Definitely. You can retire today based on your financial plans. All the numbers are great. You can finally let go of this job and you can ride off into the sunset." Well, after a few years, she started to get depressed. No one could talk to her. She missed her clients. She missed working by their bedside. That was her identity. After she retired, she had nothing to retire to. And she fell into a deep depression. So much so, she ended up unaliving herself. No one could help her. They talked to the pastor. They talked to friends and family. But it was too late. Brothers and sisters, post-retirement depression is real. The connections that we take for granted now, the things that frustrate us, the boss that makes us angry, even though we don't like them, it still stimulates life. It means we are still active. We're doing something. But what happens when all the noise calms down and it's just you? What do you do? So Tony encourages us not to just get to retirement, but get through retirement. Now, let me give you some tips to how to structure your financial plan to incorporate some of these elements. One, I want you to take out a sheet of paper and a pencil if you're old school. If you're new, you can pull out your iPad or you can put out a little note section or a note app that you have on your phone. Then I want you to sit down for 15 minutes and I want you to write down everything that you ever want to do. Vacation, spending time with family, maybe bungee jumping. I don't know. Anything that you ever want to do. Then I want you to write down everything you want to do with other people, whether it's community service or maybe it's help out at your local church, anything that you need to do with someone else. Finally, I want you to write down, what do you think God has called you to do? Some people call this a bucket list, but it's not really a bucket list because it's not about what you're doing, but about who you need to become in order to get these things done. To bungee jump, you have to be courageous. To work in community service, you have to be a servant. And whatever you wrote down, I don't want you to wait until retirement. I want you to do it now. Now, why do I want you to do it now? I thought this was about retirement. Well, you need practice because if you get into retirement and then you just jump into a hobby, it may be uncomfortable. You may want to quit. You may not have the money to do the hobbies that you want. Now that you have cash flow, you can actually use that money in order to fund your hobby. And you can figure out, is this something I would like to do in retirement? Understand this. Working is just something to generate income. You'll always be working. As God's stewards, we are always working for the Lord. We don't work for man. We work with man. We don't work for men. You work with IBM. You don't work with Walmart. You work with companies like IBM. You work with Walmart. You work with your company. You don't work for your company. They are buying your time and experience, and it's an equal exchange. You don't owe them anything except for your time and your talent, which they're paying for. And guess what? When they're tired of paying, they'll let you go. And when you're tired of how much they pay you for, it's time for you to go. You are a business. And in retirement, it's the same idea. You are a manager of your time. No longer are you selling your time. You are using your time to the best of your ability. But you can't do that without a plan. So brothers and sisters, this video was very short, but I just want to tell you this from my heart. Never stop working for God. Even in your current work situation, you're only working with IBM, but you're working for God. We're all working for God. And I want you to keep that in mind when we're investing, when we're saving money. How are we going to use this money to help those in need, those people that we love and cherish? That's the only thing that matters. So as Christian investors, we're not going to stop working. We're just going to transition into something different. And we're going to do something that makes us happy, that brings us joy, and transforms us into the people God has called us to be. It's more than just numbers sometimes. It's really about your intentions and your behaviors when it comes to serving God and why you're actually making the money in the first place. So what are you going to do in retirement? Let me know in the comments. I'll really love to know how you are not only going to get to retirement, but how you're going to get through retirement. Well, that's it for me. My name is A.B. Ridgway, and I'll see you on the other side of your blessing.